Canadian miracles.
And that is why you will never hear me mention his name.
Deliver Brexit. Unite the country.
We will make America great again.
Views on News with Mark Latham.
New South Wales leader of One Nation, Mark Latham, joins me for our regular weekly chat. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good, thanks, Brad. How are you going?
Oh, I can't complain, apart from the fact that the Bunnies aren't in the final
this weekend. No, a bit unlucky there. They just didn't have it, you know. And Walker, the 5'8", he's a great player, but he does get a bit quiet in the big ones, and he didn't quite stand up, did he?
No, and I suppose I was going to ask, who will you be supporting this weekend? But obviously you're going to be going for Penrith.
Well, not necessarily. I've got to say, Jerome Luai strikes me as one of the most obnoxious players I've ever seen on a rugby league field. So I think I'll be Switzerland in this. I'll be quite neutral. And at one level, I suppose, if you can detach yourself from a Dragons fan dislike of the Storm, if it is Cameron Smith's last game, I wouldn't begrudge him a premiership, because while I don't necessarily like the guy, he has been by far the most magnificent hooker I've ever seen play rugby league football. And if he went out with a premiership, I wouldn't begrudge that for a moment, because at the end of the day, you've got a reward and recognise quality, and that guy is just amazing, absolutely, completely amazing.
I got to say, quick plug for our network. We're doing the call from 6 o'clock as part of NRL Nation on the grand final here, where the Panthers take on the Melbourne Storm at the ANZ Stadium. We'll do that from 6 o'clock here, so you won't miss a thing from 6 o'clock here on Sunday night. I have an email from Lance. Lance says, could you ask Mark this? Mark, it looks like Gladys is not budging. Business as usual. Is this the end, or do you think more will come of this?
Well, there's a long way to run. The ICAC has just finished their inquiry, and anyone reviewing the evidence would say the Premier has a lot of questions to answer. There were private sessions conducted where we don't know what was said. That was secret to the public. And there'll be summaries and preliminary statements about this put to the Commissioner before the end of the year. The parties then get to respond to that, and then the Commissioner writes a report. So all of that means there's a long way to go, and I must say, in the upper house, we have a role to play, because we have a power to call on government documents and provide transparency and accountability about what's gone on. And just yesterday, I had one of these, it's called a Standing Order 52, go through on about seven or eight big matters where we want to look at the documents and find out more about how the state's been run.
Right.
So we'll see what those documents show, but while she's not budging, and she's trying to dig in, it doesn't mean that she's in the right. I think there's still evidence of the Premier failing in her statutory duty to report a reasonable suspicion of corrupt conduct about this guy, Maguire, her secret land developer boyfriend, for 5 or 6 years. So we'll see how all that plays out.
What about the Berejiklian government and its administration of this $250 million worth of council grants?
Well, another example of secrecy. I mean, people work hard to pay their taxes in New South Wales, and low-income earners in particular deserve the respect of saying, well, you know, you haven't got a flash job, you haven't got a big income, but you paid your taxes honestly. The money's got to be used, so there's a proper process of due diligence and decision-making. And amazingly, I've never heard of any. I've followed politics or been involved for 40 years now, and I've never seen or heard of a scheme like this one where they could allocate $252 million of taxpayers' money with no guidelines, no application forms, no publicity. And you had Hornsby Council, Matt Keane there, the protege of the Premier, he's the local member, where they weren't eligible. They weren't an amalgamated council to get this money. The rules were changed, and within 36 hours it was in Hornsby's bank account for filling in a quarry and making a park. $90 million of funding to make a park. Now, that's the biggest priority for a huge amount of money, $90 million. Imagine the amount of good that could be achieved with $90 million, say, in Newcastle, with the development of the sports precinct, for example, or other needy community facilities. It's just incredible that Matt Keane got this allocated after a rule change behind the scenes, totally in secret, within 36 hours.
And the fact that none of the grants were signed. None of them.
Well, a complete lack of process. You know, people say Gladys Berejiklian is a manager. Well, here she was managing a shonky, rorted scheme that was unfair on all the council areas that had been amalgamated. Canterbury rang up. They had big amalgamation there in inner western Sydney. They rang the Office of Local Government and said, is there any funds here that we can apply for? Just apply to see if we can get some support to meet the costs of the amalgamation. And they were told no. So it wasn't just the secrecy and the favouritism to areas like Hornsby. It was a deliberate attempt to say to other councils, no, there's no money available, there's no such scheme. So again, there's a suggestion in our chamber that this is an equivalent of corrupt conduct. And I don't know where the Labor Party and the other crossbenchers will go with that argument, but boy, you've got to say, it's the mother of all rorts. It's completely outrageous. And another area where the Premier needs to stump up with some answers.
Yeah, as you say, she's digging in, but she may be dug out again.
Well, on that one, Brent, don't you think we need some proper inquiry? The Public Accounts Committee of the Upper House is looking into it, but it might need to go further than that. There's certainly documents around. You can be guaranteed, behind the scenes, using private emails or WhatsApp or one of these modern devices, there's been communications inside the government to get the money allocated this way. Now, the Upper House has wanted to get that material. We were denied it, and as a consequence, the Leader of the Government, Don Harwin, was suspended for 2 hours. He provided what was supposed to be an explanation this morning. It was actually digging in, using that phrase. He was digging in to say the government had not done anything wrong. There's still no transparency, so most likely in a couple of weeks' time, he'll be suspended again.
Right. Two other matters. New South Wales public school teachers were being given official lessons in how to teach gender fluidity to pupils and told parents should not be informed if a student comes out because it would not be safe and students require a bit of privacy. Now, this was on the front page of the Telegraph today, Mark, and it says that Mr. Latham slammed the lessons delivered in August as an appalling denial of parental rights and said gender fluidity should not be brought into the curriculum. Absolutely. For God's sake, this is just terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know why in our schools we need to be saying to little kids that a boy can be a girl and a girl can be a boy and running a false argument about gender is socially constructed. So I don't know why it is in the system at all. But the argument put in this so-called professional development course that if a teacher finds out information about the sexuality or gender of a student, it would be unsafe to tell the parents because the parents might kick that kid out of home. Well, what an insult to the parents of New South Wales who are loving, caring and 24/7 on the job to try and look after their kids in the vast majority of cases. The truth is, Brent, that there's many fine teachers out there, but essentially they are still strangers in our life. They come and go out of schools and out of classrooms. But when the kids are grown up, most certainly, but in between time on the weekends, the school holidays, late at night, parents, the great parents out there, have got their love and responsibility for their children around the clock. And surely, if there's any relevant information in a school about the development and well-being of a child, there should be no deliberate attempt to keep the parents in the dark. And I asked the Education Minister this just a couple of hours ago in our chamber, and she spoke of the importance to recognise trusted adults in the system and mentioned teachers and school leaders and didn't mention the role of parents as trusted adults to look after their own children. I then gave a speech to say, well, I've heard a lot over the years where the Liberal and National Party lecture people about family values, but have we got to the point now with a National Party education minister that the definition of trusted adults in the care of children doesn't include their own parents? Where did this come from?
Yeah. You got a hold of a webinar course, and in this part of this webinar teachers course, it suggests that teachers put up a transgender flag in classrooms, for goodness sake.
Yeah, and to work into all aspects of the curriculum, gender fluidity teaching, into maths, English, HISI, PD, HPE, which is the old physical education course, library books. It was just amazing. And even at one point, the Teachers Federation instructor in this course said, take the kids down to the Sydney Aquarium for a special excursion. That'd take most schools all day, those in the Sydney metropolitan area, all day excursion to the Sydney Aquarium, not to study marine biology or science, but because there's two male penguins at the aquarium that have hatched an egg together. Now, really, how's that going to help anyone with literacy, numeracy, doing the HSC, anything in life to waste a whole day of schooling to go down and look at a couple of male penguins that have apparently hatched an egg. I did look this up. Apparently male penguins play a role in hatching the egg with female penguins, and on it goes. But look, this is just sort of madness to say this has got to be a priority in the school calendar to go to the aquarium for that reason. So this stuff is just off the radar from another planet, and the government from the top down needs to step in and get rid of it.
HSC started this week, and more than 1,000 students sitting their high school certificate exams today are expected or not expected to be able to read their exam papers unassisted. So they have to have somebody read their exam papers to them, Mark.
Yeah, isn't it just a sad, sad sign of what's gone wrong? You know, we just spoke about the priority given to LGBTI and gender fluidity when we've got 1,000 kids out there doing this HSC exam who are functionally illiterate. They can't read the words on the paper. Now, it used to be 300 in that category. It's grown to 1,000 in recent years. So the system is going backwards, and it's a classic demonstration of how all the wrong-headed priorities and all the stupidity in the public education system from the Teachers Federation and others is driving the system into the ground, and it's just so unfair on these students. I mean, what hope have they got in life? What hope have they got of passing it that someone had to read out the answers? And then they can't write the answer in return. They speak the answer and it's written down for them. It's just beggar's belief.
So they read them the question and they can't write the reply. They can't write the answer. They verbalise the answer to that question and then someone writes that down for them, and that's how they do the high school certificate.
That's how they complete it. Now, wouldn't you have thought these problems would be identified in years 5, 6, 7, 8?
Yeah, you would.
And intensive care would be provided so they could read and write. And wouldn't you also think, perhaps in years 9 and 10, given the scale of that problem, they'd be moved into vocational courses, where they may well be wonderful kids to do things with their hands, to be a tradie, a builder, someone working in hospitality, but and set them on a pathway to actually getting a job. So, you know, you just wonder what people are thinking about in these schools. The lack of pathway for vocational areas and training, apprenticeships, traineeships, we've got a very small number of those in New South Wales, and we've got literacy programs that are failing a significant number of kids. It's reported that each year 16,000 New South Wales students going into year 7 can't read properly. So no wonder we've got this problem come HSC time.
That's right. We're chatting with Mark Latham, leader of One Nation in New South Wales. We have to take a break. We'll come back and speak more with him next.